T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Jamie and Stoney Show on 97.1 The Ticket. Draft 2020 is in the books. And joining us now for his annual visit is the general manager of the Detroit Lions. And I think I can safely say he's coming to us from his home in Northville, which is where he was coming to us for the entire weekend. The general manager of the Detroit Lions, Bob Quinn. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Was the whole experience obviously was different. Was it fun? Because it looked on television like you guys were having fun. Your kids were involved. Matt's kids were involved and doing the video press conferences afterwards. You were actually having fun with the media a little bit. It was just different. It seemed cool to me.
Yeah, it was a fun experience, you know, from having my wife and kids around, obviously, for the last 5 weeks of preparation for the draft and obviously over, you know, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That was cool. And I think it was just, you know, something that came off really without any hitches. So we were, you know, a little nervous getting into it when we heard the draft was going to be virtual. But, you know, like I've said many times, our IT guys did an outstanding job, getting everything set up and we had, you know, really a very, very smooth operation. So, I was probably a little bit more relaxed and, maybe you guys will see just a little bit more of that going forward.
Bob, did it change obviously it changed the lead up to the draft and your ability to prepare for the draft. Do you think it changed the draft itself? Do you think if this pandemic had never come through, I know I'm asking kind of an impossible question here, do you think the order would have been different? Do you think you would have been able to scout different players or see different players or interview different players? Or do you think the draft would have been the same either way?
I think it would have been the same because we tried to really, in a virtual world, we tried to duplicate what we always do. So it was, you know, instead of assistant coaches going to pro days and spending time with guys, we did that virtually. Instead of doing the 30 visits to our Allen Park facility with our, you know, quote unquote top 30 guys, we did that virtually. We were able to do a few more of those, more so than 30. So it was different in that respect, but I think the players that we evaluated, how we broke up the responsibilities between the personnel staff and the coaching staff, how we did the medical evaluations, all those things were the same. It was just the end result was a lot of meetings that were, you know, over Zoom and Microsoft Teams compared to being in person. So it was very, the process was the same.
When you look at the back at the draft, did you guys obviously can't fill every need, but are you happy with what you were able to accomplish as far as need goes?
Yeah, we feel good about addressing our main needs. Obviously, it's a work in progress in terms of, you know, filling out the entire roster and making sure we have enough competition and depth everywhere. So that's an everyday thing for us in personnel. So, you know, there's things that will happen this week that, you know, we ended up, you know, having to release a few guys yesterday to kind of get our roster down to be able to add some rookie free agents after the draft. So, you know, this is an never ending process that we're going to try to continually evaluate what's on the waiver wire and see if they can upgrade our roster.
Bob Quinn's with us, Lions general manager. The third pick, you guys took Jeff Okuda. There was obviously a lot of speculation about trading down with Miami, with L.A., one of those teams. And we kept calling it a poker game, Bob. Like, you know, you guys weren't going to take a quarterback, but maybe you wanted to get the message out there that you were taking a quarterback. You said very clearly there was no trade partner or not a good enough trade for you to accept. Do you feel like you played this poker hand well enough, or could you have done something different to maybe be able to make that trade?
Yeah, we played it the right way. You know, it's something that, you know, we study what other teams want. The other teams do a great job of studying what we want. Ultimately, you know, we weren't in a position to take a quarterback that high. We felt we had greater needs on the team for this season. So that was kind of the decision we made in the week leading up to the draft. But we evaluated everybody, you know, as we do every year, especially the quarterback position, because we all know how important it is for the National Football League. So we evaluated those guys, liked a number of them, just didn't feel like it was right at number three. And, you know, to the on the trade thing, which I spoke about on Thursday night, like, we didn't even get a offer, not even, hey, evaluate this offer and get back to us. So it was very, you know, we tried. We made a few calls ourselves to see if teams were interested, and ultimately they weren't.
So even hypothetically, if Miami, the Chargers, said, hey, listen, I know, you know, the deal, but we'll give you a – because we're afraid somebody's going to jump us and go to four. We'll give you a fifth-round pick just to move up. I mean, that's almost insulting, cool. But – don't you have to take that because it's better than what you have, which is no extra pick?
Yeah, that's a tough question. My gut reaction is I probably wouldn't have taken a fifth-round pick to move back two spots. I don't think that's good business, because I would have been really upset if someone then jumped the Giants and took a Cuda. You know, like,
right.
can you guarantee that, you know, the whatever, New Orleans Saints didn't give up next year's one to go up into number four to take a Cuda? Like, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have done that for a fifth round pick.
Okay, so then the other question that people wanted to have, and I don't say know the answer, because it's only been done, I think, in my lifetime, the Eli Manning draft. People were saying, fans were suggesting that, you know what, why don't you just, you know, call Miami's bluff, draft Tua, and then you say, see, we took Tua, you didn't think we were, now give us something for Tua, and we'll you draft a Cuda or whoever, and now you throw give us something else because you want Tua so bad. That never happens in the NFL. Did you ever think of doing that?
Easier, I'd say much easier said than done. much. How do I know that Tua was their guy? How do I know that they didn't really want an offensive tackle, which they had talked a lot about? So there's so many maybes in that conversation that it really – that's why it doesn't happen in the NFL. Listen, we all trust each other as GMs. I worked with Chris Greer for a year. My first year in the league, Chris was in New England in 2000. So I know Chris. But ultimately, like this, like you said, this is a game of poker. So, I mean, on draft weekend, I take no one's word. So I couldn't sit there and truthfully – for the Lions organization, truthfully, consider something like that, because you never know what can happen.
We're talking to Lions general manager Bob Quinn here on 97.1 The Ticket. Do you believe the rumor, Bob, that Belichick traded out of the first round just so they couldn't show his house on TV?
Yeah, I have no idea.
No, I'm
I have
kidding.
No idea. It's funny, though.
No, I'm kidding about that. You know, Peter King, who I know you know, wrote a column. He was with the Tampa Bay general manager throughout the process, and I was astounded by just the moving parts that you guys have to deal with. I mean, there was one thing where he quoted the GM as saying, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks, and he just hung up the phone, and it was a trade offer from somebody. Who knows? Maybe it was you. I have no idea. But it just it's how do you – you know, we always talk about this with the athletes, right? In the moment, everything slows down, and they see things at a slower rate. Is that how it works for general managers as well? Because it seems like the 15 minutes or the 10 minutes or the whatever it is, 3 minutes – that's got to go lightning fast. How do you manage all that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, if you're prepared, the moment does slow down. And, you know, for us, when we were in the third round and we're trading up for Jonah Jackson, it was a total great team effort from everybody that was in our quote-unquote virtual draft room. We had multiple people calling basically all the teams that were above us, because we wanted to go get Jonah with the right price. So, and ultimately our staff did an outstanding job, you know, calling those teams. And then I was able to get on the phone with Chris Ballard. And, you know, when you have that kind of relationship, everything goes, you know, really quickly, really smoothly. Hey, we have a deal. These are the numbers. And I believe there's, what, 5 minutes on the clock, right in round three. So we got that trade done in, you know, I think about 2 or 3 minutes, and able to, you know, call the league, call in the trade, make sure it was confirmed, and then we were on the clock. And the only difference this year, which, you know, for the fans, I'm not sure if we talked about this in my post-draft, was normally in a normal draft, we have somebody at the draft from the Lions. We have two representatives sitting at our table. right? Mm-hmm. And so how we would select a player is I would call, usually it's our equipment manager, Tim O'Neill. And I say, Tim, listen, write down this name, Jonah Jackson, guard, Ohio State. He writes it on an official draft card. And I say, turn that over so nobody can see it. And then I work on the trade. And then the trade gets confirmed, and I say, okay, Tim, we're on the clock. We just traded for this pick. Go turn this card in. And then the National Football League has a runner at our table, and he grabs it, and then we turn a ticket. So that's how you normally do it this year. So there's a few more moving parts. So I'm actually doing the trade with the Colts, get that accomplished, and then I have to go to my second computer, which is connected to the National Football League's Microsoft Teams account, and that's actually how you submit the pick. So I had to fill out seven boxes, so, you know, round, I think it was, you know, third round, 75th overall, Jonah Jackson, guard, Ohio State, and then you had to put in a, you know, a security code at the bottom. Then you hit submit, and then you sit there and you wait for about 2 seconds, and then it pops up. You know, your pick is confirmed. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. I'm pretty good with computers, but I'm not, you know, obviously an IT person. But there's just a couple extra steps for me personally to make sure that everything went smoothly.
Bob, what separated in your mind DeAndre Swift from the other two running backs that were available, Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins? Because to somebody who's like a layman like myself, it was if they got one of the three, I said going into the next day, going into day two, I said I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, we had those guys rated very closely, as probably most of the league did. Really, what came down to was, you know, DeAndre's really three-down ability, his ability to do stuff in the passing game as well as run the football. We know he can run the football. When you kind of dial it in and watch his stuff in the passing game, it's really good. He's a good route runner. He can gain separation against linebackers and safeties. So that was probably the slight edge that he got. But they were, you know, they're all good players, including, you know, the guy that went before us at 32, Edwards-Helaire from LSU. So there was a good crew there. Those four guys we had a lot of conversations about throughout the whole process, and felt really great that Swift was there, and, you know, can't wait to get him into our offense.
Bob, I know you're happy with your draft picks. I'm not going to ask you to say which ones are you happy with and not happy with, because I know you're happy with all of them. But are there – I was curious about one, Okwara, and two, Cephas, and maybe to a lesser extent, Huntley. Particularly happy you got them and maybe even surprised that they were available to you at the time that you picked them?
Yeah, good question. I would say I was surprised that Okwara was there at the top of the third round. We kind of went in saying, hey, listen, we love Julian as a player. He fits our scheme, you know his brother, all that stuff kind of helped, right? But ultimately, you know, after we took Swift, you know, we're sitting there staring at him, and we're like, there's no way. Like, there's no way in 32 picks, like, he's going to be sitting there. There was a couple other guys that we liked. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't the only guy that we were staring there. It was probably four or five that we really liked, and we're really, you know, crossing our fingers that we're going to be there. But ultimately, I was, you know, getting nervous as the picks went off, and we kept going back. Hey, Okwara's still there. Okay, Okwara's still there. And then, you know, it was an easy send in the pick when he was available. Cephas, you know, Cephas is a really good player. I'm not sure if you guys have watched any film here since we took him. This guy's really strong. He's a really good route runner. He's got outstanding hands. He's physical. He's just he's a very well-rounded guy that can play inside and outside, and he brings a level of toughness to the wide receiver position. You guys have heard the quotes of, you know, some of our, you know, Akuda said something about him. We've gotten numerous messages after the fact, actually some of the things we didn't even know beforehand of how some defensive coaches in the Big Ten really thought of him. So that was pretty interesting. And I would say, you know, he didn't run a great 40 time at the combine. So I think that, you know, pushed him down a notch. He did improve that at his pro day before the shutdown. We had a couple guys there. We had a couple coaches there and a couple scouts there. So we got good reports on that. So I would say I was, you know, I thought that was kind of the range for him, you know, middle of the fifth, late fifth. So felt good about that. And then Huntley was a non-combine guy. So I didn't really know, like, those non-combine guys, especially this year, when really you didn't really do a lot of visits with players, a lot of unknown about where he might go. I just felt like he was graded at a high enough level that I felt really comfortable in the fifth round with Huntley.
His video I watched yesterday was just incredible. Of course, you only see the good things on a 10-minute YouTube highlight. Final thing for me is the biggest weakness, and I know you addressed it a little bit with Okwara, biggest weakness on this roster going in, pass rush, because that seemed to be the major deficiency going into this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that that was ranked the highest deficiency, but it was something that we addressed. Obviously, you know, when we released Kennard, who, you know, we love Kennard and everything he brought. That was a tough decision for Coach and I to kind of move on from him. And obviously he had, you know, sack production the last two seasons. So when you lose production, you gotta make sure you add production. So, whether it's, you know, Okwara or other guys that we brought in the offseason that can rush the passer from different positions, you know, Jamie Collins, you know, Austin Bryant's coming along. You know, you guys saw glimpses of him last year. I think he's a guy that, you know, we're counting on to do some things this year for us in terms of the pass rush. So, might be different bodies out there, but obviously we want the production to be higher than it was last season because, you know, you're right. We need to get after the quarterback more.
Hey, Bob, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Good luck navigating what comes next, which has got to be truly bizarre with virtual off-season workouts and meetings. And we'll hopefully see you in person at training camp this summer. Thanks, Bob.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to hear from you guys.
We really appreciate it. There he is, the general manager of the Detroit Lions, Bob Quinn. Joining me and Stoney here on 97.1 The Ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.